So we've gone through Good Friday and we've gone through resurrection. And I found out he's still alive. Jesus Christ is, can you say that with me? Jesus Christ is still alive. And many of us seated here today, hopefully, you've received Jesus into your life. Will you wave at me if you've received him into your life? Which means it's the born again experience. But when we come to this point in our life, we have to question, what now? Have you ever done something or gone on a trip and you look at your partner and you say, what now? Because we're always looking for something else. But this series is for anyone, that takes in all of us here, is for anyone who's felt stuck between who they were and who they're becoming. Where you are right now and where you're going. Because that's important. Because a lot of us know where we are, we just don't know where we're headed. We know what we've accomplished, we just don't know what the future accomplishments will bring. So this is for us. But let me say this as we enter into this series. God has a plan for everyone here. As a matter of fact, God has a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's born on the planet Earth. He's not caught off guard. He's not scratching his head in heaven wondering what we're going to do next. He knows exactly what's going on. So, just for a moment, have you ever tried at any time, I know I have, you've tried to carry too many things at one time? And you try to gather them all up, whether it be tools or you're shopping or whatever it is, you try to gather up too many things and you pick up more than you can handle. Of course, you don't know it when you're doing it, but you find out there's a moment when you think you've got it, but you don't. You think you're handling it, but you're not. You've got everything handled. It's all in balance. I'm going to make it. It's under control until it's not. Until something slips, something breaks through, and everything starts to crash to the ground. Have you ever done that before? Oh, I have. And you wonder, what in the world am I doing? But here's the truth in this. Life works the same way. Say that back to me. See, we think we can hold it all. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people who tries to hold everybody else's problems. We want to worry about everybody else, and we're not even thinking about us. You need to worry about yourself sometimes. We try to hold on to our dreams. No matter what, I'm going to hold on to my dreams. I'm going to hold on to my plan. I have a 5-year plan that's stretching out to 10. I have a plan. I'm going to hold on. We hold on to our fears. We hold on to our pride. We hold on. But God is very kind to us. Because you see, God, in His infinite love and mercy, is trying to set us free. He's trying desperately to set us all free. The truth is, and here's the truth, you weren't made to carry everything. You were made to let go. That's what I'm dealing with today. You're going to have to, at some point in your life, let go. There are some people that live past their season. They work past their season. And they don't realize they need to let go of the past season to get to the new season. Because you can't take the old season into the new. It just won't work. I remember telling a story here, and now you may have remembered it. In Africa, they wanted to catch some monkeys. And the way they caught the monkey was they'd take a glass jar with a small opening, they put fruit in that jar, and the monkey would reach up into the jar and grab the fruit, and they would catch the monkey. You say, well, that was stupid. No, the monkey wouldn't let go of the fruit. So he is anchored and captured by his own desire to hold on. I'll not let go. There are some things in life you're going to have to learn to let go. Because here's the lesson in that. You have to let go in order to live. Just like the monkey. You have to let go in order to live. And I say, it's time to let go. Whatever you have, you need to hear me today. We need to let go because the enemy of our soul works in those things we're holding on to. He'll drive it into you. He will hammer that nail into your head. So it's time to let go. That's why Paul, how many people remember Paul? One hand, thank you. Paul was a very important person in the New Testament because he wrote most of it. He said something that's very hard to understand in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He's dealing with the Corinth church here, and the Corinth church, like every other church I know, they come up with their own ideas. They come up with their own dogma, their own theology, their own eschatology. Look those up later. And they had decided that there was going to be, Doc, no resurrection. That's what they're teaching. There's no resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, what in the world are y'all doing? I'm going through all this that I'm going through, and there's no resurrection from the dead. In other words, when you die, that's it. So listen to him. He starts to talk. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. What do you mean? He said, I swear, I'm going to give you some definition here. He said, I swear by the pride and joy I have in you through Christ. In other words, I'm telling you the truth. I'm speaking truth to you. And you know how much Christ means to me and how much you mean to me because of Christ. He's trying to explain to them that he's doing this for a reason. He's living the life he's living. Matter of fact, he's writing this particular, I believe this particular verse, he's in prison, chained, waiting for death. Paul was saying, because to the Corinth church, he's saying, because I know there is a resurrection. I know there is a life after this life. I die daily. I die daily. Let's define it. I believe that God is calling all of us into that same freedom. Freedom, yes, it's a freedom to die daily. You see, dying daily, this came to me early this morning, dying daily is a progression into your eternal destiny. It's just a progression into your eternal destiny. So we have to let go. Everybody say, let go. There's an old phrase we used to use. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. And until you get to that point in your life, you will never be successful at living. You'll have pseudo or momentary pleasure, momentary joy, momentary success. And I've had momentary success. Have you? I have at times. But it was momentary. So you get an award. So you get a plaque. So you get the applause of the people. But sooner or later, you got to go to bed in the dark all by yourself. Are y'all feeling me now? There comes a time you have to let go and let God. You have to understand the phrase here and why he says, I die daily and I do it on purpose. I want to do it. You see, life is a journey inward. Church, you have to hear this. It isn't a journey outward. Life is not a journey outward. It's a journey inward, and it is a discovery. You're discovering who you are and what you are to become. It doesn't matter what you're seeing now. I know what we're going to see in the future. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing now. It's what we're going to experience in the future. You say, is your life over, Bishop? No, my life has just begun. I shut the door to one season and opened the door to another season. I live with expectancy. I expect God to move. I was telling my wife this morning on the way to church, I said, you have to understand, God is a God of order and is a God of timing. Well, I could explain that to you because it could very well likely happen that our last service in this facility will end from 1962 till now, will end in the same Sunday when it started. You don't think God's a God of order? He hit me in the head this morning when I was looking at it. I said, God, is this what you're doing? Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to show you I'm a God of order, and I've got things planned for you. So I'm not going to question him about the future when I know I don't need to know. Because if I know it, I might mess it up. Remember Abram, get thee out. Go, and I'll show you where you're going to end up. But understand, if Abram had known, he would not have done it. Are y'all with me? Look at somebody and say, wake up. I said that one day in church. There was a woman sitting over to my right side. My daddy was sitting over to the right. My daddy was on stage, and a woman was sitting right behind him. Her name was Betty. And I said, I'm preaching a house of fire. It wasn't here. It was in another church. And I turned over and I said, Betty, are you awake? And he thought I said, Daddy, are you awake? He said, son, I'm awake. Are you? I said, I guess I am awake. I'm the one preaching up here. Daddy, you didn't challenge my father too much. He'd come back at you real quick. Randy, are you awake?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, life is a journey inward, not just outward. And I'm discovering who I am and what I can accomplish and where God wants me to be. It's an exploration of self and of spirit. Of self and of spirit. But here's where the rub comes. Here's the tension. We live in a world, in a society, in a system that teaches us to hold on. Hold on. We hold on to our successes. We hold on to our grudges. We hold on to our control. We hold on to our pride. We hold on to our envy. We hold on to our jealousies. We're going to hold on because it makes us feel a certain way. And yet here comes a man named Paul. He comes along and hits you right in the heart and says, y'all may be holding on to all these things, your own theology, your own ideas, but he comes on the scene and says something very simple but hard-hitting. I die daily. Bishop, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to die daily. I'm just dying every day. And we're not talking about physical. I'm dying daily. I'm getting Alan out of the way so God can do something. I'm getting the East-West Church out of the way so God can really build His church. Did y'all catch that? Because you see, we keep trying to build what Jesus has already built. See, I'm excited about what He's going to do, Doc. I'm not excited about me anymore. When I was young, I was excited about what I was going to do. But it's not about me anymore. It's about I'm expecting. Where is it now, next, God? Where's the window you're going to open? Where is it? I'm ready to look through that window. He says, I die daily. I let go. I let go of Paul so I can be more like Jesus. But why in the world would anyone willingly die every day? That doesn't make sense. But how many people knows that the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom? It doesn't make sense. I mean, he says, love your enemy. That makes no sense. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Makes no sense. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Makes no sense. But they did me wrong. None of it makes sense except if you're God.
Amen.
Now here's the deal about letting go. Because letting go is not defeat. Letting go is not defeat. It is the gateway to real life. My daddy used to tell a story. I'll tell it. A man fell off of a cliff, and he's hanging on to a limb. And there he's dangling off the cliff, hanging on the limb. And he praying, God, help me, God, help me. And an angel shows up. And the angel says to the man hanging on the limb, let go. I just remembered this. He said, let go. The man said, are you crazy? No, just let go. He hangs on longer and longer, and finally he says, you know what? I can't hold on much longer, so I'll just let go. And when he let go, he fell about 6 inches and landed on a ledge. Sometimes you may not see where you're going to land, but God knows where you're going to land, and it's time to let go. And it's for real life. If not, you're just hanging on a limb. Out on a limb. But dying daily, Floyd, is a daily choice. You make the choice that you're going to die daily. That means you take a lot of who you are and who you want to be, and you set it aside to become more like Him. Paul doesn't say, you read him very carefully. A lot of people don't really look at it. But Paul doesn't say, I died once. I met Jesus on the road to Damascus and I have died. I'm dead. I died once and it's done. He says, I die daily. It isn't just a Sunday dying. I'm going to church today, so I'll die to self today because I didn't really want to get up anyway. I ate my oatmeal, and I put on my track suit, and I'm just going to go to church. You know, I'm going to die daily. I'm going to die on Sunday. And then, you know, I'm going to die on maybe if I have a prayer meeting, I'll die on that day. I'm going to tell you, it's not just dying on a Sunday or dying in a prayer meeting. It's dying on Monday morning when you got to get up. It's dying on Thursday afternoon. It's dying when you're stuck on 285 in traffic. I die daily when everybody's cursing you and blowing horns and you're saying, thank you, Jesus. But that's what he's talking about. He said, I die daily. It's not just one moment. Like most people here, the church was full last Sunday. We had a lot of people on Easter that died on Easter. They won't die again until Christmas. Now, we won't be here. We'll be in another place. But they're going to have to come find us. Because we're going to be dying somewhere else. You think, I'm not sad in the least bit. I'm laughing because I know God's up to something. So, it's not just a one-time vent with me, man. I'm going to die when I go home today. I'm going to die when I get up in the morning. What do you mean? I'm going to step out of Allen. I'm going to step outside myself. I'm going to try to step outside my desire, my wants, to find what He desires. What does He want? That's important. Now, God wants you to be successful, but He doesn't want you to be successful. Watch this. Successful at the risk of losing relationship with you. If you've ever known anybody, it's prayed for God to help them in a situation. And they're fervent in their prayer, Doc. They're fervent in their prayer. And then God brings it, and you don't see them anymore. They're blessed right out of relationship. That's just fact. It's like the person that said, I'm going to tithe. God's going to bless me. Well, God finally blesses them, and then they get so much finances, they decide that's too much. So I just won't give anymore. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I'm telling you a truth now that I've faced in these 56 years of standing behind a pulpit. That's just people because they don't die daily. Jesus emphasizes in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, he's going to follow me, let him deny himself. In other words, you got to step outside yourself. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. So I came up with this phrase, deny to rely. Deny to rely. I deny myself so I can rely on him, Jesus Christ. Deny to rely. Because as long as you believe you've got all the answers and you've got all the methods and you've got the only motivation, you're not relying on him. You're not relying on Jesus. Can you imagine just for a moment, let's just put this in context. Has anybody ever done a flower garden or any gardening at all? Well, let me just tell you something. Every day, a gardener, he or she will get up and they'll go through the garden doing something. It's called pulling weeds. Has anybody ever pulled weeds? It's not fun, because weeds can be tough sometimes. But imagine a gardener, he or she gets up, and every day they're out there pulling weeds. Could you imagine them getting up and pulling weeds one day and then saying, well, you know, I pulled weeds today, so I'm going to slack off and wait a couple of weeks. Now, they didn't pull weeds today and then do it tomorrow because they failed yesterday. Now, get this in your mind. They're not in the garden today because of yesterday. They failed. No, they did a good job. Why then? Because the soil is alive. And it keeps producing weeds. That's what it does. Here's the deal. Our hearts are just like that garden. Unattended, not working with the weeds, your heart's going to grow some things you do not want. And it'll change who you are because you've allowed it to take over your garden, your heart. Left unattended, your heart will grow negative things. How many people know I just told the truth? Your heart will do it. Matter of fact, sit alone. I've done this plenty of times. You sit alone enough and think, and you'll start telling yourself all kinds of things. And it's not good. I never talk about my successes. I'm always into what did I do? How did I do that? Why did I do that? I can't believe I went down that road. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe. How many people have done that? It's just what happens. And you start developing these weeds that snuff out your life. Let me say it again. Left unattended, the heart will grow negative things. And every day you have to pull those weeds. Pull them out. And then when you get up tomorrow, the next day, do it again. The next day, do it again. Paul said, I die daily. I pull weeds every day. Now let me ask this question, if anybody can be honest. We are in church, so we should be honest. Has anybody honest enough to admit that some weeds grew back since last Sunday? I'm getting some honest people here. Look at you. Better hand better go up, Christian. Steve, your hand didn't go up. You better put your feet and hands up. I mean, since last Sunday, I mean, we had a great service, and I feel like I ministered a fairly good message. I don't know what it was, but it's somewhere about Jesus. Bishop, you preached a great message. I can't tell you. I know it was about Jesus. That's the truth. But all of a sudden, Sunday came and weeds started. Matter of fact, weeds started as you got in your car. And by Sunday night, it was growing full-fledged. Monday morning, you can't walk through it. It's so thick. By this morning, you had to get the power mower out so you can say, I die daily today. You see, here's the key. Daily surrender produces daily strength. Daily surrender produces daily strength. Excuse me. Daily dying leads to daily living. Daily dying, daily living. Just what happens. You see, when you let go, I'm going to let go of some things. It makes room for more living, for greater life. But Bishop, I don't understand all this dying. Why so much? Why are we talking about dying? Because if you can't live, you can't live full of yourself and still live full of Christ. Let me say it another way. You can't live full if you're still living full of yourself. So somewhere you've got to pour something out. Somewhere you've got to weed that garden. Well, what did Paul say? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dying. I am crucified with him. As he died, I die also. And as he was resurrected, I'm resurrected also. Watch this. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's real life. Yet not I. I'm not living, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live that life. How many people are glad Jesus gave his life for you? That's why I can say it's no longer I who live. It's Christ that lives in me. He helps me make those decisions. He helps pull the weeds out of my garden. Here's some truth. Letting go of your control gives you room for God's control. Letting go of your control gives more room for God's control. Letting go of your fear gives room for his faithfulness. Letting go of your shame and your guilt gives room for his grace, his enabling power. His enabling power only works because you need power to work through some things. Here's your little key. You can't hold new wine if you're still clutching to old wineskins. Let me tell you something that I preach to preachers. The greatest opposition to a new move of God is the old move of God. Whenever there's an old move, there's a reason. You need to get out of it and get in the new move. Because if you hold on to the old move long enough, you're going to die with it. You're going to die with it. Did anybody get anything out of that? I did. You can't hold new wine if you're clutching on to your old wineskins. Does anybody know what happens if you put new wine into old wineskins? They're going to burst. You're going to lose all the wine. So I ask you this today. What's in your wineskin today? What's your old wineskin today? What is your old wineskin? You can label it because you're holding on to it and you're trying to put new wine in it. So you better label it and find out what it is. What is your old wineskin? Well, my old wineskin is I sit in the same seat every Sunday and praise God. If this place ain't here, I ain't coming no more because God wants me to sit in that seat. That's an old wineskin. Well, I tell you what, if I come into church and nobody shakes my hand, I am not coming back. That's an old wineskin. Well, I came in and Brother Randy didn't smile at me, and he usually does, so something's wrong. You're holding on to old wineskins. Well, I come to church. You better hear me now, Bishop. I come to church to be entertained. Well, you're coming to the wrong church now. We used to entertain. Now we're going to find people that really want to worship God. That's what we're going to find. So, letting go is how Paul states it, how you can win the eternal prize. You have to let go to get to the eternal prize. You see, it's not about today's joy. I've got to just have joy for today. It's not about just joy for today. It's about tomorrow's reward. Not just joy today, but tomorrow's reward. You can see this, and now you don't read this right now, but you get home, go to that shelf in your room and blow off all the dust off of it and turn to 1 Corinthians 15th chapter and read it. That whole chapter is on resurrection and Paul's discourse. Very interesting. But Paul's heart, I said, Lord, what was Paul's heart? Here it is right here. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, now here he was, chief. There was none other like him. I mean, he was a learned man. He had obtained some greatness. But watch this. He said, but all things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. All the things I'd gained, I lost. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or rubbish. Matter of fact, in definition, dung and rubbish, it's a step beyond rubbish, that I may win Christ. And yet here was a man that had gained so much and was influential, had prestige, a religious leader. He said, whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. I die daily. What is he basically saying? Everything I once thought mattered. That's what Paul's saying. Everything I thought once mattered. Has anybody gone through those phases where you thought those things used to matter, now they don't anymore? I mean, I used to think sports was it. Man, I had to be in sport. I play football as much as I could. I mean, it was either playing baseball or softball. I mean, baseball or football. Basically, I loved football. And so it didn't matter if I was in martial arts or whatever. I did. That's all I lived for. I lived for that stuff. I mean, we'd go out and play three full games just on a Saturday. I mean, we're crazy. I lived for it. But now, you know what? I don't even watch it on TV. Why? Because I can't afford it. No. I don't even watch it. Because what I thought was so important, Doc, I found out, you get a little physical scare, you realize it was not as important as you thought it was. He said everything, Paul said, everything I once thought mattered didn't matter. My status, my achievements, my religious accomplishments, my reputation, all of it, nothing compared to the treasure of knowing Jesus. Let me say this. Your life, say my life, your life in reference to his life offered is like trying to compare a candle to the sun. There's no comparisons. Both have light, but one is the dominant. So you try to compare what you have to what he has, there's no comparison. So here's something, a key that you can carry home with you. What you give up, what I have to give up, what you give up is never greater than what you gain in him. What you give up is never greater than what you gain in Him. You may not see it now, but it's fact. It's just fact. Well, Bishop, aren't you worried about tomorrow? Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof, the Bible says. I'm not worried about tomorrow. People always want to question me. What you going to do here and what you going to do there and how you going to do this and how you going to do that? Even my wife, I mean, she don't question me, but I just tell her, I don't know. I said, for the first time in my life, I really just don't know, and I don't care to know. What I want to know is, am I doing what God's asked me to do? Now, I want you to hear me. This is your free part. How many churches do you know, really, in the United States of America, that they're seeing supernatural events in their church? Well, let me answer that for you. None. Or very limited. Why? Because we have tried to build the church the way we want it and not the way God wants it. That's your free part for today. And until we get things into order, we're not going to see divine intervention like we want. What do you mean by that? Blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. Well, I've seen it in limited amounts. I've done it. I've prayed for people and watched it happen. But I'm talking about when every service you walk in, bam, 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 it happens. Because God is not going to move in a mess. He's not going to move in apathy. He's just not going to move in a lackadaisical, I don't care attitude. And where we've gotten things out of balance in the order. I could preach on that for a minute, but I won't because I know y'all want to beat the Baptist. I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather go to a church that when I walked in it, I knew God was going to touch me. Do y'all feel that way too? Well, I'm going to go to church. I've got a great children's program. I'm not. If God's not showing up at supernaturally, I don't care about the children's events. But that's what he's talking about. He's saying, I die daily. It's not just one moment. Like most people here, the church was full last Sunday. We had a lot of people on Easter that died on Easter. They won't die again until Christmas. Now, we won't be here. We'll be in another place. But they're going to have to come find us because we're going to be dying somewhere else. You think, I'm not sad in the least bit. I'm laughing because I know God's up to something. So, it's not just a one-time vent with me, man. I'm going to die when I go home today. I'm going to die when I get up in the morning. What do you mean? I'm going to step out of Allen. I'm going to step outside myself. I'm going to try to step outside my desire, my wants, to find what He desires. What does He want? That's important. Now, God wants you to be successful. But He doesn't want you to be successful, watch this, successful at the risk of losing relationship with you. If you ever known anybody, it's prayed for God to help them in a situation. And they're fervent in their prayer, Doc. They're fervent in their prayer. And then God brings it, and you don't see them anymore. They're blessed right out of relationship. That's just fact. Like the person that said, I'm going to tithe, God's going to bless me. Well, God finally blesses them, and then they get so much finances, they decide that's too much. So I just won't give anymore. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I'm telling you a truth now that I've faced in these 56 years of standing behind a pulpit. That's just people because they don't die daily. Jesus emphasizes in Luke 9:23, and He said to them all, If any man will come after me, he's going to follow me, let him deny himself. In other words, you got to step outside yourself. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. So I came up with this phrase, deny to rely. Deny to rely. I deny myself so I can rely on him, Jesus Christ. Deny to rely. Because as long as you believe you've got all the answers and you've got all the methods and you've got the only motivation, you're not relying on him. You're not relying on Jesus. Can you imagine just for a moment, let's just put this in context. Has anybody ever done a flower garden or any gardening at all? Well, let me just tell you something. Every day, a gardener, he or she will get up and they'll go through the garden doing something. It's called pulling weeds. Has anybody ever pulled weeds? It's not fun, because weeds can be tough sometimes. I'm not talking about smoking it, Steve. I'm talking about pulling it. Bishop, I wish you hadn't have said that. Why? You know, listen, don't you come, don't y'all even act like you don't know. Rick, you see him looking at me like, we don't know what you're talking about, Bishop. Oh, come on. Give me a break, Valerie. If you don't know, I'm going to open up the pulpit for Dr. Carrier. He'll explain it to you. But imagine a gardener, he or she gets up, and every day they're out there pulling weeds. Could you imagine them getting up and pulling weeds one day and then saying, well, you know, I pulled weeds today, so I'm going to slack off and wait a couple of weeks. Now, they didn't pull weeds today and then do it tomorrow because they failed yesterday. Now, get this in your mind. They're not in the garden today because of yesterday. They failed. No, they did a good job. Why then? Because the soil is alive. And it keeps producing weeds. That's what it does. Here's the deal. Our hearts are just like that garden. Unattended, not working with the weeds, your heart's going to grow some things you do not want. And it'll change who you are because you've allowed it to take over your garden, your heart. Left unattended, your heart will grow negative things. How many people know I just told the truth? Your heart will do it. Matter of fact, sit alone. I've done this plenty of times. You sit alone enough and think, and you'll start telling yourself all kinds of things. And it's not good. I never talk about my successes. I'm always into what did I do? How did I do that? Why did I do that? I can't believe I went down that road. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe. How many people have done that? It's just what happens. And you start developing these weeds that snuff out your life. Let me say it again. Left unattended, the heart will grow negative things. And every day you have to pull those weeds. Pull them out. And then when you get up tomorrow, the next day, do it again. The next day, do it again. Paul said, I die daily. I pull weeds every day. Now let me ask this question, if anybody can be honest. We are in church, so we should be honest. Has anybody honest enough to admit that some weeds grew back since last Sunday? I'm getting some honest people here. Look at you. Better hand better go up, Christian. Steve, your hand didn't go up. You better put your feet and hands up. I mean, since last Sunday, I mean, we had a great service, and I feel like I ministered a fairly good message. I don't know what it was, but it's somewhere about Jesus. Bishop, you preached a great message. I can't tell you. I know it was about Jesus. That's the truth. But all of a sudden, Sunday came and weeds started. Matter of fact, weeds started as you got in your car. And by Sunday night, it was growing full-fledged. Monday morning, you can't walk through it. It's so thick. By this morning, you had to get the power mower out so you could say, I die daily today. You see, here's the key. Daily surrender produces daily strength. Daily surrender produces daily strength. Excuse me. Daily dying leads to daily living. Daily dying, daily living. Just what happens. You see, when you let go, I'm going to let go of some things. It makes room for more living, for greater life. But Bishop, I don't understand all this dying. Why so much? Why are we talking about dying? Because if you can't live, you can't live full of yourself and still live full of Christ. Let me say it another way. You can't live full if you're still living full of yourself. So somewhere you've got to pour something out. Somewhere you've got to weed that garden. Well, what did Paul say? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dying. I am crucified with him. As he died, I die also. And as he was resurrected, I'm resurrected also. Watch this. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's the real life. Yet not I. I'm not living, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live that life. How many people are glad Jesus gave his life for you? That's why I can say it's no longer I who live. It's Christ that lives in me. He helps me make those decisions. He helps pull the weeds out of my garden. Here's some truth. Letting go of your control gives you room for God's control. Letting go of your control gives more room for God's control. Letting go of your fear gives room for his faithfulness. Letting go of your shame and your guilt gives room for his grace, his enabling power. His enabling power only works because you need power to work through some things. Here's your little key. You can't hold new wine if you're still clutching to old wineskins. Let me tell you something that I preach to preachers. The greatest opposition to a new move of God is the old move of God. Whenever there's an old move, there's a reason. You need to get out of it and get in the new move. Because if you hold on to the old move long enough, you're going to die with it. You're going to die with it. Did anybody get anything out of that? I did. You can't hold new wine if you're clutching on to your old wineskins. Does anybody know what happens if you put new wine in old wineskins? They're going to burst. You're going to lose all the wine. So I ask you this today. What's in your wineskin today? What's your old wineskin today? What is your old wineskin? You can label it. because you're holding on to it and you're trying to put new wine in it. So you better label it and find out what it is. What is your old wineskin? Well, my old wineskin is I sit in the same seat every Sunday and praise God. If this place ain't here, I ain't coming no more because God wants me to sit in that seat. That's an old wineskin. Well, I tell you what, if I come into church and nobody shakes my hand, I am not coming back. That's an old wineskin. Well, I came in and Brother Randy didn't smile at me, and he usually does, so something's wrong. You're holding on to old wineskins. Well, I come to church. You better hear me now, Bishop. I come to church to be entertained. Well, you're coming to the wrong church now. We used to entertain. Now we're going to find people that really want to worship God. That's what we're going to find. So, letting go is how Paul states it, how you can win the eternal prize. You have to let go to get to the eternal prize. You see, it's not about today's joy. I've got to just have joy for today. It's not about just joy for today. It's about tomorrow's reward. Not just joy today, but tomorrow's reward. You can see this, and you don't read this right now, but you get home, go to that shelf in your room and blow off all the dust off of it and turn to 1 Corinthians 15th chapter and read it. That whole chapter is on resurrection and Paul's discourse. Very interesting. But Paul's heart, I said, Lord, what was Paul's heart? Here it is right here, Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, now here he was, chief. There was none other like him. I mean, he was a learned man. He had obtained some greatness. But watch this. He said, but all things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. All the things I'd gained, I lost. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or rubbish. Matter of fact, in definition, dung and rubbish, it's a step beyond rubbish, that I may win Christ. And yet here was a man that had gained so much and was influential, had prestige, a religious leader. He said, whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. I die daily. What is he basically saying? Everything I once thought mattered. That's what Paul's saying. Everything I thought once mattered. Has anybody gone through those phases where you thought those things used to matter, now they don't anymore? I mean, I used to think sports was it. Man, I had to be in sport. I play football as much as I could. I mean, it was either playing baseball or softball. I mean, baseball or football. Basically, I loved football. And so it didn't matter if I was in martial arts or whatever. I did. That's all I lived for. I lived for that stuff. I mean, we'd go out and play three full games just on a Saturday. I mean, we're crazy. I lived for it. But now, you know what? I don't even watch it on TV. Why? Because I can't afford it. No. I don't even watch it. Because what I thought was so important, Doc, I found out, you get a little physical scare, you realize it was not as important as you thought it was. He said everything, Paul said, everything I once thought mattered didn't matter. My status, my achievements, my religious accomplishments, my reputation, all of it, nothing compared to the treasure of knowing Jesus. Let me say this. your life, say my life, your life in reference to his life offered is like trying to compare a candle to the sun. There's no comparisons. Both have light, but one is the dominant. So you try to compare what you have to what he has, there's no comparison. So here's something, a key that you can carry home with you. What you give up, what I have to give up, what you give up is never greater than what you gain in him. What you give up is never greater than what you gain in him. You may not see it now, but it's fact. It's just fact. Well, Bishop, aren't you worried about tomorrow? Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof, the Bible says. I'm not worried about tomorrow. People always want to question me. What you going to do here and what you going to do there and how you going to do this and how you going to do that? Even my wife, I mean, she don't question me, but I just tell her, I don't know. I said, for the first time in my life, I really just don't know, and I don't care to know. What I want to know is, am I doing what God's asking me to do? Now, I want you to hear me. This is your free part. How many churches do you know, really, in the United States of America, that they're seeing supernatural events in their church? Well, let me answer that for you. None. Are very limited. Why? Because we have tried to build the church the way we want it and not the way God wants it. That's your free part for today. And until we get things into order, we're not going to see divine intervention like we want. What do you mean by that? Blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. Well, I've seen it in limited amounts. I've done it. I've prayed for people and watched it happen. But I'm talking about when every service you walk in, bam, 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 it happens. Because God is not going to move in a mess. He's not going to move in apathy. He's just not going to move in a lackadaisical, I don't care attitude. And where we've gotten things out of balance in the order. I could preach on that for a minute, but I won't, because I know y'all want to beat the Baptist. I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather go to a church that when I walked in it, I knew God was going to touch me. Do y'all feel that way too? Well, I'm going to go to church. I've got a great children's program. I'm not. If God's not showing up at supernaturally, I don't care about the children's events. As you let it go. I'm winding down now. You say, thank you, Jesus. If I die daily, as Paul says, I can live fully. What does that mean? I'm going to bring the heartbeat back. I'm going to bring that heartbeat back, the heart of Christ beating within me. You see, Jesus let go of heaven to pick up a cross. Think about that one. He let go of his rights in heaven to offer us grace. Now he calls us not to lose, but to gain real life. So let go. Die daily. Set aside those things that's hindering you. And we've all got them. Come on. We've all got them. I don't care if you... Listen, the Pope died this week. But I'm going to tell you, when he stood before God, it doesn't matter if he was the Pope or you're a pauper. You still face God the same way. And I'll tell you, the Pope had to let go just like the pauper has to let go. Because whatever you hold on to can, in fact, mess up your eternal destiny. Let go, die daily, and live fully. And watch resurrection power flood into your life like never before. Would you say this with me in closing? This is my first closing. Today. Louder. Today I choose to die daily. So I can live eternally. The way He wants me to live. I want to thrive and drive toward my destiny. Because the greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. And hell can't stop me. Because God has already defeated hell. We keep waiting. Listen to this. We keep waiting to be healed and He's already healed us. Well, I'm waiting to get saved, and He's already saved you. All you got to do is call on Him. All you have to do is step into the flow of the river. There's a fountain filled with blood that flows from the side of Christ. And all you have to do is step into that flow.